Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Macy, and we're two professional counselors
who like to talk about disturbing things.
Welcome to the Vortex.
Yes, dive in with us. I got a different kind of wine for us today. It's Saint Chapelle Wild Huckleberry Spritz.
It is like a spritz in my mouth.
I just thought I'd branch out.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have been freaking dying all day to podcast. Like, I have so much many follow-ups from last time.
I knew that because you haven't said a word to me since I got here, which means you're saving it up and you don't trust yourself.
I have not talked about this out loud to anybody. You are the first person. Because I didn't want to, like, use up my words on it or my energy or passion.
That's totally what happens to you.
Yes.
All right. Take it away.
So, okay, last time we talked about, we got in our soapbox about, like, building bridges and all that. Mm-hmm. So, I listened to our podcast on Saturday. I'm like, oh, yeah, shit, I got to do that.
I forgot about it, too.
Well, yeah. It's nice. That's what's useful about listening to the podcast, because then you get to remind yourself of all the things you said you were going to do. So, I got my shit together yesterday, and I got these cute little, like, mini Prosecco bottles, and, like, wrote a handwritten note to my neighbors, and I went and delivered them last night, and I'm, like, feeling all good about myself, even though both of my sons were super pessimistic about the whole thing. Like, my older son was,
it's
like,
definitely not a generation thing that they would,
yeah,
do.
Yeah. My older son was, like, building bridges. You should be burning bridges. And then my younger son is like, I don't think this is the kind of neighborhood for that.
It's exactly the kind of neighborhood to give alcohol to.
Well, and I was like, well, that's exactly why I'm doing it. I'm being the spark that starts this change, this revolution. So I was all feeling all high and mighty, and like I'm like on the high road and doing all.
Yeah, I saw your picture good. That you posted, and I was like, ah, oh, she's doing it. I'm so proud.
Did you read
of her.
The note?
I couldn't see it.
That I wrote?
I just saw it on my phone, so it was too small. Why don't you read it? So
okay, I have to find the photo.
Everyone can know.
Yeah, well, and I was just in like an old-fashioned neighborly kind of mood when I wrote the note. And they're all handwritten, which is hard for me because I write like a slob. So I had to go like really slow so it was legible. So I said, hi, neighbor. I'm your neighbor at 420 South Chestnut. No, everybody knows where I live. Please let me know if you ever see suspicious activity at my house or if it's burning down, etc. Also, feel free to reach out to me if you're ever in need of a cup of sugar or the like. Being neighborly, Naomi. And then I put my phone number. So I thought that was like all old-fashioned and like cute and like the old neighborly days. And then what do I get on my phone as a text? A very short time later. Would you like to read this out loud? No, read it out loud. You have to read it out loud.
Hi, Naomi. Did you put your phone number on the thing?
On the note, yes, because how else are they going to tell me if my house is burning down?
Hi, Naomi. I'll keep an eye out for any tomfoolery in our part of the hood. Thank you for the sparkling wine! Exclamation mark. P.S. I'd love to taste your sugar on my tongue.
Yeah. Fucking ruined my life. I instantly...
Okay, I feel like this goes with our episode about burning the journal. Maybe, like, sharing a cup of sugar, just aim for these days anymore.
No, clearly it's an old-fashioned reference that nobody understands, and they have to make it fucking dirty. So I instantly felt super gross and super, like, regretful of the whole thing.
Do you know which neighbor it was?
No, that's the worst fucking part. I don't know which neighbor. I gave out 6 notes. So when I went running this morning, I was, like, looking outside all stealthily and then just, like, ran away really quick. I didn't do any, like, warm-up. And then when I, like, left for work, it was the same thing. I'm like, somebody looking at me out there.
So now you're all paranoid, locked in the house.
Because I don't know which one it is. And even when I was walking in just now after work, I was like hustling. And then I saw the neighbor across the street kind of coming out. And I'm like, oh no, what if it's him? And I booked it into the house and locked the door like super quick.
How many did you give out?
6.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So, I mean, fuck building bridges. I'm just going to stay in my house with my doors locked.
It looked really cute on Facebook.
I felt like I had all these great intentions, but yeah, some creeper out there has to fucking ruin it by making it dirty, me feel dirty.
Now you're just going to think that constantly.
Yes. Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah. And like, you didn't phrase it that way.
So, I meant it so innocent.
Yeah. It sounded like a cup of sugar. And then he went, cup of sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just so grossed out. I mean,
yeah.
That person thinks I delivered that special to them. I don't think they realize
that it went to six people. You didn't make that clear. You could have said something on there like, I'm sending this to all my neighbors.
Yes. In hindsight, that's what I should have done. You are one of many neighbors.
You are one of many. And this sugar ain't special for you.
This is not an offer for us to be exchanging any kind of sugar.
And the fact that he felt like ballsy enough to text you?
Yeah. Like right away. So gross. So gross.
He probably thought you were trying to hit on him.
I know. That's exactly what he thinks.
Because you gave wine too. Like sparkling wine versus like we talked. You went a little off plan. We talked about a 6-pack. Of beer.
Here's what happened.
Beer is casual. Wine is let's get frisky.
Well, I didn't realize those were the...
Me neither, until now.
The implications and secret messages behind a beverage choice. But I spent way too much time in the beer aisle at the store yesterday, and I got overwhelmed, and I walked up and down and up and down, and it was just standing there way too long. So I went to where my comfort zone is, the wine aisle. And I saw those cute little mini champagnes, and I just couldn't resist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I can't leave my house, and I'm super grossed out by all my neighbors, because I don't know which one it could be.
It's kind of like that book we read, The Woman in the Window.
That's so funny that you brought that up. Oh my God, we're having a full-on fucking psychic connection right now. This is so psychic right now. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
Okay. So today, I decided to look at our podcast like on iTunes, because it shows like which ones people are listening to the mm-hmm. most, like by mm-hmm. popularity. And I was horrified to see that the most popular one is our first one.
But more time.
Well, it's been listened to the most or whatever, mm-hmm. but it comes at the top. So that means mm-hmm. people like me that want to listen to the most popular one, that's the one they're going to listen to.
Yeah.
So on my way home from work today, I actually played it.
I haven't listened to that in so long.
No, I hadn't since we first did it.
I don't think I listened to it the first time.
Well,
because I was really paranoid then about hearing myself.
Well, that's what we were talking about, was that book, The Woman in the Window. Yeah, we were talking about that and the Fire Festival. And
yeah, that's right.
It wasn't as cringy as I thought it was going to be. But I couldn't hear anything. It was so quiet.
The thing is,
I was driving with my phone next to my ear like this.
So you know what I can do? You know what I can do? I can go in, re-edit the volume now that, because way back then it was just the handheld. I can change that and make it.
We've come so far.
I can make it more audible now, but it's going to erase the data tied to it.
What does that mean?
So all the play counts, all those things will go away for that episode.
Oh.
Which plays in the favor, it'll drop down off the top of the list.
Maybe that would be okay.
Maybe it would.
Yeah. But isn't that funny you mentioned that book, and I was just listening to us talking about that fucking book.
Yeah. That's all I was thinking about the whole time you were talking about being in the house and being worried about what people
and peeking
thought.
Outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. now they're all creepy. They're mm-hmm. all they all want to taste my sugar on their tongue. I don't know which one. It's
innocent. That's the worst. Like, it'd be better if you knew which one, because then you're like, I'm avoiding you, motherfucker. But when it's everybody?
It's everybody, and I'm surrounded. And I literally gave that to everybody on the block, all 6 houses on my block, both sides of the street. So I'm fucked. And I'm right in the middle of all of them.
Perfect Go viewing. Luckily, they can't see in here. Can they see you through that crack in the window?
No, because I can't see them. Okay. I would have to shift to be able to see the alley.
Okay.
The scary alley that I have next to my house.
Yeah.
So that was...
Ooh, that sounds stressful.
You wouldn't like getting that text.
Oh, no. I've had a similar-ish thing, not because I was reaching out to anybody, but in the first year that I moved into my house, I got a note in my mailbox. What did it say? It said something. It was simple. It was something like, I think it just said, I'm watching you. It was something along the lines of, I'm watching you, or I see you.
What?
Right? And just on like a little handwritten note.
Scary stalker stuff.
In my mailbox. Scared the shit out of me. And I was
rightly so.
I still like close my blinds all the like they're always closed.
Because of that?
Yeah, because of when I initially moved in there like 4 years ago.
Well, because you don't know who it is either. You're like me.
Nope.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, and they could still be there watching me.
They might be watching you right now. Maybe it was me, because I'm watching you right now.
But if your window theory holds, I can't see out the window either. So it's really, is it you? Did you do it?
I didn't do it.
Okay.
I can never find your house. Every time I go there, it's always like, I'm going a different way, and it's always a mystery and a surprise.
Yeah. We do live on opposite ends of town, so stalking each other isn't really
It's not practical. No. It's going to waste gas and time.
I'll just stalk you in between my clients.
What do you think of this Huckleberry Spritz thing?
Like, I like it. I'm not, like, wowed by it, but it's okay. Like, it's good. It's not...
I think it's okay.
Yeah, like...
I don't hate it.
I feel like the flavor is actually good, but for some reason I want to not like it.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it. So, that's okay. I mean...
It kind of just tastes like sparkling juice.
Yeah.
What's the alcohol in the spritzer?
12.5. That's why I bought it.
12.5?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I know. It's like, it looks like... all cute and innocent, but it's not.
Wow.
I know. I got you. Don't worry. So we have to follow up on another thing.
Yes.
So I was super creeped out by the fact that the minute we posted our podcast last time about Jeffrey Epstein, he killed himself.
Ended up, yeah.
Like, it was a half an hour after you posted it, that I saw that news
because
thing.
Because I, on Friday, I don't even remember what I was doing, but I totally spaced the podcast. Oh, I went bowling. So I spaced the podcast.
Bowling over podcast, really?
It was like helping out a friend, meeting a guy scenario. It did not end well.
You were a wing woman?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Well, who goes on a bowling date anyway? I mean, that's like when you're deep into the relationship. That's not when you're trying to impress anybody, because nobody looks good in those shoes. And if your game's off.
Poor guy had game off all over the place. So anyways, yeah. So I forgot to post the podcast. And so I woke up in the morning in a panic and posted it like around 11 o'clock that morning. It was 11.
Yeah, and then after you posted it, I went to repost it, and I was looking up Jeffrey Epstein to make sure I spelled his last name right, and that's when, like, all those news things came up that
he
apparently killed himself.
I looked up how to spell his name, too, for that, and nothing came up when I was looking, so you must have caught it, like, right as it was breaking. No, it was
immediately. That's why I was so freaked out, because it just, I mean, it was eerie. The timing was eerie.
Yeah,
it also shows how topical we are. We're fucking topical AF. These conspiracy theories starting to spark up.
Yeah, lots of them. And honestly, all of the routes make sense. I could totally see him killing himself. I could totally see him being murdered by somebody.
I can totally see him being allowed to kill himself, which is what seems like the most likely.
Yeah, I don't know. He was on, and so the iffy part was he was on suicide watch for actually a period of time before that, and then for unknown reasons, at least at this point, he was taken off of the suicide watch, and there isn't really good documentation to show why that happened, which makes it suspicious.
Well, and he was potentially going to involve a lot of people that hold a lot of power in this world, and you could see those people not wanting that to go to trial, and that's a way to avoid the trial.
If they could convince him to kill himself, which is pretty iffy, but
I think they were capitalizing on the fact that he already was suicidal, because remember he had the maybe attempt a couple weeks ago. So then just like make it so the guards aren't checking as often as they should. They got rid of his cellmate. Like there's all these things that are very shifty.
Could also be someone on the other end of the conspiracy theory where they feel that he's somebody else was somebody else paid to have him killed.
Offed and made it look like a suicide?
Yeah, because they don't want to end up in court. Same reasoning, different route.
Yeah, I think it's, it'd be hard to stage a hanging, though, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure. It seems like to happen a lot in prisons. Like, apparently it's not that hard to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
We should ask your dad about this.
I will.
Because he was the prison warden.
Yeah.
Let's ask him how hard that would be.
Maybe I can record an FAQ about it and bring it next time.
Yes, I need a FAQ.
Okay.
A FAQ-wa.
A FAQ-wa. A relevant and topical FAQ-wa.
So those are all my check-ins and follow-ups that I've been dying all day to talk about. Because I didn't share that text with anybody yet. You're the first.
Oh, really? You've just been bottling?
I've been bottling since last night.
What if something happened to you? You didn't tell me about it yet. What if, like, this person kidnapped you?
Well, then nobody would ever know what happened to me. They wouldn't know that
I'd find your message and I'd be like, God, she's probably saving it for the podcast. How unfortunate.
I save all my important information for the podcast.
Especially creepy
You're welcome,
things.
Fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Estonia, you better be back.
I haven't seen him.
It could be a her. We don't know.
I just say they, them pronouns to be inclusive.
I thought you said him.
Maybe.
Come back to us, Estonia. Okay. Who goes first today?
I didn't get to check in.
Oh, what do you have? What did you do this weekend?
Why do you guys say, like, I don't have anything to share?
I don't know. I just felt like you were so involved in mine that we shared our check-in.
I did say that I went bowling, which I guess was a thing.
You don't have to have that be your check-in. That's kind of lame.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on sharing that publicly. Okay, so side note, though, I did take bowling for 2 years as my PE elective in Running Start.
So are you a rat at it?
No. Oh. It's just a nice way to get out of PE.
I have my own bowling ball that was custom drilled for my hand.
What does that even mean?
Like you get like a solid ball without holes, and then they measure your hand and stuff, and then they drill it special for you.
Were you that into bowling?
No, but I was gifted an amazing Powerpuff Girls red, sparkly, glittery bowling ball.
That reminded me of the Derby girl named
Glitterous.
yes, oh, Glitterous.
So I was given a bowling ball and I made use of it. It's only a 6-pounder. So
That's tiny. That's like
I can freaking huck it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do it like discus style.
Hey, I used to play discus in track and field back in the day.
You spun around many times and let things fly.
I sure could huck that. Well, you didn't. That's shot put. That's different. Well, actually, shot put is like that. But like,
what's the one where you spin around and then let things go?
You can do that. You can spin around if you're a professional. Most of the time, you just hold it behind your back.
Oh, so you weren't allowed to spin around yet. You weren't at that level.
I don't know. It was elementary school. It was like the end of my elementary career.
I can see them not wanting to let little kids do that because you might not have control of when you let it go and you could like hit a bunch of kids in the head.
Kids who were better at it were allowed to spin.
Oh, so this wasn't your strength.
It was the most I could do in the track and field team.
You're on track and field.
I have short little legs. Like, I could sprint, but I hated it. I hated sprinting, so that didn't work. Yeah, I tried long jump and hurdles.
Those don't seem like your game either if you have short legs.
No, couldn't do the jump. I've never once been able to get over the bar. But hurdles, I actually got fairly decent at, but like I could actually jump the hurdles because I got the boost behind to jump and leap up real high. But at one point my shoe did catch and I ate major shit on that asphalty type red turf.
Track and field material.
Of death that like shredded my leg and I was like, I hate this. I'm doing discus.
This sparked a memory of something that happened in my high school. There was this guy that was super popular and he was an athlete. And one day, like, in front of everybody outside, he hurtled over, like, a short chain link fence.
Ooh.
And his ball sack got caught on,
no.
you know, like, the sharp little, like, turned over corner of the chain link at the top. Ripped his ball sack open. This is in front of everybody.
This is horrifying.
It was horrifying. He had to, like, go by ambulance to the hospital. Like, it was a major, major injury. And he was, like, out of school for days. And then when he came back...
yeah, you would think.
He was,
maybe
like,
months.
A totally different person. It was like he was castrated.
Emotionally scarred.
I mean, he was completely changed. He was no longer the cocky jock. He was, like...
the jock that got his balls ripped open.
Meek and humble and... but I don't know if it was just that incident or if, like, it took some of his testosterone away. Was that thunder?
I think it was your train colliding with something.
Oh, it might be. They call that buffering.
What is that? Wait, tell me this. I live near trains, so I need to know the terminology.
Well, I learned it on Thomas the Train. When they, like, hook up together, like, do that, it's buffering.
Wait, is this similar to Avatar?
I don't know
when
what you're talking about.
The blue avatar where their tails touch.
I don't know. I saw that movie once. I didn't really like it.
It was like Pocahontas, but futuristic Pocahontas.
So I don't remember the details about avatar sex.
They touch tails together and, like, things glow.
Do you hear Kiwi trying to break in the door right now?
Back off, devil cat.
Do you hear that, like, scritching and scratching and pushing? She wants to come at you.
Get out of here.
She remembers you from last time.
I have a scratch on my face from my own cat. I don't need a scratch from your cat.
She would have way more scratches on you than that. You'd be bleeding. Yes. Well, she's almost in. That's strong.
Terrifying.
I know. So you're breaking down the door?
Stressful. Anyways, that's all. That's my only updates.
That's your check-in?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that was cool.
That's it.
Who goes first today?
I
don't remember.
I think it's me. Because I think we ended with Epstein because I started with kissing.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah. All right.
No, that means it's me. If we started with kissing.
You're right.
You just fucked yourself over. Because I totally would have believed anything you said.
You started going for it.
I did. All right.
Oh, she's so happy now. She has a giant grin.
I'm so happy. Going first is so much better. It's like the superior position.
It's funnier at the end, though. Like when you listen back and you're like, but it's like at our expense. So there's that.
I know. Like we have no idea what we've been talking about towards the end.
No.
Okay. So I am going to talk about magic and mayhem. I am going to talk about the 2003 tiger attack on Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy.
Ooh.
Do you know of this?
Yes, I do know of this.
Yay!
It triggered my many YouTube videos of tiger and lion attacks on people, and it was really scarring.
That was a thing you looked into?
That was a thing I looked into. Like, I watched many YouTube videos of people getting attacked by lions and tigers, and it's terrifying. Anyways, go on.
So, Siegfried and Roy, they're a German-American magician duo, and they were super famous for working with white lions and white tigers.
Siberian.
So they worked at the Mirage Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. And so it was just like total Vegas, like glitz and glitter and glamour and, like, you know, lots of like power and intrigue and
mystery.
Lots of capes and lots of like white shirts halfway buttoned down to show the chest.
And glitter.
A lot of like really over-coiffed hair.
Tassels.
Tanned. So their show was so popular, they were given a lifetime contract in 2001. So Siegfried Tyrone Fischbacherand, probably not pronouncing that right.
Pretty good, though.
And Roy Horn, who was born Uwe Ludwig Horn. I don't
probably
know if
wrong.
Uwe is the right thing.
Uwe?
Uwe?
Uwe.
It's German. I don't know.
Uwe.
Yeah, how would you pronounce that?
Uwe.
Okay. So he changed his name to Roy.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair move.
So they're born and raised in Germany, and then they got discovered while performing on a cruise ship, and then went on the European nightclub circuit, and then they got discovered and then started their famous show in 1967. So it was a very long-running show. I watched some clips of back in their heyday, and man, like, it was insanely popular and impressive, and there was lots of, like, smoke and, like lights and bam, glam.
Fireworks.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
So one of their most famous tricks was an act where Siegfried would mysteriously turn Roy, who was, like, hanging above the stage in a plexiglass container, into a white tiger. I don't know how they did it.
Probably all that plexiglass.
Secrets of magic. So they were super into their white tigers, and they raised them from infancy on their property. And here's a picture of them in their heyday posing with some of their tigers.
Oh, very big, big tigers.
Yeah, they're so pretty.
Very pretty.
And like they are.
Which one's Siegfried? Which one's Roy?
Siegfried's the blonde one, and Roy's the brunette. And they were partners for a while, and then now they're just friends. But they live together on the same property, but in separate dwellings. So you see they got the passionate look in their eye, looking off in the distance. All halfway in.
Kind of reminds me of an 80s rock band. Yes. Presentation wise.
You know who it reminded me of when I was watching the clips and looking at these things? Did you ever watch Arrested Development?
Yeah.
It was totally I think Job patterned himself off of them, or something like
that
them,
makes
at least.
Complete sense.
Yeah. The final countdown.
That's all I know.
That's all anybody knows.
I only know one phrase from every song.
Well, it's the most important phrase. So in 2003, in front of their audience, so this was live that this happened, Roy was attacked by his 400-pound, 7-year-old tiger, Manticore. Witnesses described the incident. They said Roy appeared to lose his grip on the tiger's leash. The tiger then took hold of Roy's right arm, and then Roy started hitting the tiger on the head with his microphone. Roy then either tripped and fell backwards, or the tiger purposefully brought him down. Either way, the tiger then lunged for his neck and took hold of him. So once Manticore had Roy by the neck, the tiger picked him up and walked off stage with him. The witnesses said that Roy was just dangling from Manticore's mouth like a rag doll.
Ugh.
And they were...
I'm sure that was horrifying to watch that.
Well, they were initially confused. They thought maybe it was part of an act. They didn't really understand what was happening. I mean, that would be very...
Confusing. Because you're because no matter what, you're going to be shocked, but you're waiting for the relief and it never comes.
Or maybe you're even applauding. You're like, wow, that was some shit. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, wait.
Oh, shit. My bad.
Exactly. So off stage, the crew blasted the tiger with CO2, which I guess is used to control performing tigers. So then he released his grip on Roy's neck. By the time the paramedics arrived, 6 minutes later, he'd lost a massive amount of blood. At the hospital, he was in critical condition and suffered a stroke due to the blood loss. He went code blue 3 times that night, and 25% of his skull had to be removed. His windpipe had been crushed from the strength of the tiger's jaws. So due to lack of oxygen, blood loss, he was left with some permanent damage where he had trouble walking and talking. But he survived.
Crazy.
Yeah. So there was and still is controversy around the attack. There are conflicting accounts, and the video footage has never been released. So every performance was filmed by the Mirage.
Okay.
So there is video footage of it. But
it exists,
Yeah, it's never been released. So the questions are, was this an unprovoked attack? As the eyewitnesses claim, Or was the tiger just responding to a mistake by Roy? Did the tiger bring him down to more easily get access to his neck? Or did Roy trip?
Because they're trying to decide, like, is Manticore... Because once they attack a person, they get labeled as a man killer. Actually, at our cattails here in Spokane, where they rehabilitate zoo animals and things like that. Large cats. They also have bears, though. Two bears. One of them may have been adopted. But anyway, so they have a man killer that's actually in the back. You can see him, but he apparently killed somebody, and they made kind of the effort to get him rehabilitated, but that took him out of the environment he was at before. But they're not allowed to. He's the only one that if he broke out of cattails, they're allowed to shoot to kill. Everybody else is a shoot to tranquilize.
Interesting. But why couldn't they still shoot to tranquilize? It would have the same effect.
No, because they're saying that the risk is so high for him to go and attack another person versus a cat that's been in captivity who may not associate a person with attacking. They just associate a person, like they're probably more fearful of the person.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting you brought up cattails, because I thought about cattails a lot while I was doing this research.
Yeah, yeah.
So Siegfried, from the beginning, claimed that Manticore was trying to protect Roy because Roy had had a stroke. And he was trying to drag him out of harm's way after he fell, and that his loyal tiger would never try to kill him. Siegfried stated at the time that Manticore had saved Roy's life. So their spin
sounds very public image to me.
is that the stroke happened first, and then the tiger moved in to help him. What the medical professionals and eyewitnesses say is the tiger attack happened first, and then the stroke happened because of the blood loss, lack of oxygen, and so on.
Well, I gotta say, I watched those videos, like I told you, and there is a little to be said about, like, if the tiger doesn't want to give you up, it won't. Because I watched a man get pulled through the bars of a zoo, and, like, people are trying to get, like, and there was no getting the tiger to let go, and it was very intentional. Like, looking, you could tell what was happening. So I could see it being a PR thing, but if the crowd, like, I don't know.
Also, this performance,
not trained as a service dog.
This performance was on Roy's birthday.
Aww.
I know. So family and friends in the audience. Immediately after the attack, Roy said he didn't want anything to happen to Manticore. So that ties into what you were talking about. Tigers are built to kill.
Yep.
I watched a Discovery Channel documentary where they kind of reenacted this with a tiger trainer and stuntman person. And the tigers were described in this documentary as jaws with paws.
Well, and what I've seen from the videos is, like, their paw, like, one paw is bigger than your face. And you don't quite understand that until you see it on somebody's face. And then you're like, wow, that man has no control over what's going to happen to him.
Because they look so cute and cuddly, you know, in the photos.
So, you know that we had summer camp, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
<At work. laughs> So we would take kids to go to cattails.
Yeah.
And there are Siberian tigers there, along with regular tigers. And we had a cooler, a pull-along cooler with snacks and drinks in it.
Oh, I remember this story.
Yeah. And we had... Oh, fuck. And we had a kid who was running back and forth in front of the cage with the cooler, very overactive child, but he was doing that, and apparently, and I saw it, like, it all kind of happened at once. I saw someone, one of the zookeepers, walking down the aisle with the very same cooler, feeding them meat out of it, and this tiger is running, chasing the kid along the side and starting to, like, pounce up on the fence, which is not that high. It really isn't. And yeah, so we basically had to put it back in the car that they warned us. And I totally see why, because I was pretty sure if it continued that tiger was going to scale the fence and eat the child.
Those instincts are there.
100%. Snack tray.
Wild tigers go for the neck whenever they kill, often snapping the spine. So that's how strong their jaws are. Mm-hmm. Tigers are wild animals.
Yes, they are.
Zoologists say attacks like this are in the tiger's nature. Those who work professionally with wild animals, so either performers or trainers for animals that appear in movies and so on, they say proper handling and avoiding mistakes can decrease incidents, but that attacks can and do happen to anybody, no matter how experienced they are.
When you hear about people like homeowners who illegally have animals that they raise, and then they end up like being eaten by the anaconda or killed by the panther.
Well, I know a long time ago at Cattails, I don't know if the tiger's still there, but I used to take my kids there when they were little, and there was one tiger that was there because someone had stupidly got it for a pet, mm-hmm. and then the tiger had chewed up their Corvette, and then they didn't want the tiger no more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And at that time, it can't be returned to the wild, you know? So, and it has to live out its life at Cattails.
It's actually really common with, like, bobcats, also known as, what's their other name? Bobcats.
Mountain lions?
No.
I don't know.
Anyway, so bobcats.
People get bobcats?
Yeah, because they're like, I mean, they're big, but they're smaller than a tiger.
Like a lynx?
Lynx, thank you.
Bobcat. Are they the same thing?
They are the same thing. Mm. So people purchase those and think that, oh, it's smaller than a lot of the big cats, so I can treat it like a regular cat until it starts, you know, killing the family dog.
I'm sure its paws are still really fucking big.
Well, yeah, and it goes back to exactly what you said. The instinct is still there.
Remember when we were in Canada and we saw that mountain lion?
That walked across the road. It's huge.
It was huge. Huge. It was like real lion
sauntered,
size.
Sauntered yes. across the road. Didn't give a shit about us. It looked at us like, am I on your way? I don't care.
No, and it was super cool because we were on this highway in Canada and we'd rented a Mustang. So we were like feeling super fly and we were like flying around these turns and then like we see this mountain lion and we were able to come to a dead stop because the highway was that deserted and this mountain lion just took its time just crossing right in front of us
and like looked at us
and you could see its muscles like rippling and
yeah
it looked like, it was so strong and huge and I hadn't realized they were that fucking big.
So I've always been scared of mountain lions, cougars, same thing by the way, pumas, those are all the same thing.
You're
welcome.
Nature Corner with
you're
Macy.
Welcome, because I'm terrified while hiking. I'm terrified of bears. I'm terrified of mountain lions. Bears, like, because you'll startle the young and the mom will come in.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if I'd know if it was a black bear versus a grizzly. Like, am I supposed to play dead or am I supposed to get up and be big and yell?
The thing is, it's like
it's a totally different strategy versus depending on the bear type.
Well, and everything I see is like, bikers, two bikers, and a biker gets like picked off
because
they run across one by accident. Like, what if I'm hiking? I'm not fast, and I'm like on my legs. Oh, yeah.
Why do you think I'm a hot mess when I camp?
Yeah, yeah.
Because every sound is a fucking bear.
So the scary thing is mountain lions will stalk you. So you'll be walking, and so they're like up on the ridge line. So they will actually like stalk you, and they'll wait for the weak link in the back. If I'm ever hiking with a group of people, just so you know, if I'm not in the back, it's because I don't want to be you.
Right. When I used to hike with my kids, I'd put them in the middle between the adults.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to bring your dogs hiking, and so many people do, because dogs actually lure mountain lions because they view them as food.
Oh, I didn't know that.
People take their dogs thinking their dogs are going to protect
them.
Protective
factor.
Which may be in theory, but a mountain lion's going to take your dog out.
Might just think it's a little snack.
Yeah, I mean, they smell it. To them, it's prey.
Fido is mountain lion food.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry, went way off topic about my fears about hiking.
No, I have the exact same fears. And my sister and her husband, they've ran across mountain lions down in California while they're hiking.
I hear it all the time. And like I remember I went hiking and there was a sign that said bears carry bear spray with you. And I didn't have bear spray. And everyone's like, it's fine. Come on. It's fine. And I'm like, no. That sign clearly says there are bears here and that I need bear spray. Yeah. Not doing it. Not doing it.
I used to hike or go camping all the time. I was, you know, raised by hippies. So basically we like lived camping and I never was afraid. But like as my modern day adult self, like I can't even do it. I'll be up all night just like a hot mess. And, like, not be able to sleep.
I have bear spray now, and I'm still worried about it.
I've even gone camping with people with firearms, and it doesn't even make me feel better.
No, but especially, so, like, a bear, maybe if you startle it, and then it starts, rawr, and then, like, you have some time. Mountain lion, you won't even notice it, like...
Because it's super stealth.
Camouflage.
Yeah, I day hike. I love being out in nature. I love day hiking, and then I go home to my house at night and stay inside.
They hunt during daytime, too.
Yeah, but I have to get out in nature. Like, I have to live my life. I don't want to be totally controlled by my fears and anxieties. I just don't stay overnight.
That's fair. My DBT was last week, so.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Radical acceptance, yo. So... Chris Lawrence, who was their tiger handler at the time, he recently just came out a couple months ago to say the mauling was a cover-up. It was covered up. He says Roy was to blame because he was spending too little time with the tigers before the show and their bond was eroding. Mm-hmm. He also says Roy broke from routine and that threw the tiger into uncharted waters and it was confused. This guy also says that he's the one that talked Roy into performing with Manticore that night, or Manticore, because it was his birthday and it was special, and you know, he was such an impressive tiger. So he says he has PTSD now, and he's like, overwhelming guilt, and he's been in therapy.
This is why I don't let my friends take me farther past the sign, because you're going to feel horrible when I do die by a bear.
And then they'll have to speak out publicly on Hollywood Reporter.
Yep, because I'm that famous.
So he says he wants to come out and set the record straight because Siegfried and Roy are planning a documentary. And rumor on the street is the documentary will include the footage of the attack.
What?
That's,
I mean, that must have
the his word on the street.
That must be his permission on there.
Well, they're putting out this biopic.
Yeah.
Siegfried and Roy are.
The YouTube videos that I saw, both people died. I'm pretty sure they didn't give their consent.
Well, I guess after you're dead, anything's open. So in 2005, the case of the tiger attack was closed and there was no determination of what caused it. The tiger was hungry theory, which was one of many theories, was ruled out. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture is the one that gave up the final report. So I guess it was because it was animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the Associated Press, through a Freedom of Information Act request, got copies of the final report. So it talked about the different theories because their investigation included interviews with like everybody in the land that was involved. So a veterinarian who examined Manticore after the mauling said the animal appeared normal and that he'd been fed on schedule. Another theory was that animal rights activists provoked the attack or that it was an act of eco-terrorism against Las Vegas. So Homeland Security actually was part of this investigation. So there was... thoughts that somebody deliberately distracted the tiger. But the animal since then has performed 2,000 times without incident. So there's also people that were saying maybe the audio and video should be analyzed for far UV or high ultrasonics because that might be able to trigger behaviors in the tiger that would be off. And then there was another theory that said a woman with a beehive hairdo in the audience distracted the tiger.
I mean, I have to say, like...
these are creative, though. Creative points.
Very creative. So back in the day, I was a vegan for 2 years, and I followed PETA pretty regularly. And there's a lot of information on and videos and photos of like how animals are treated in circuses and in live performance shows. And, you know, none of those things really speak to how animals are treated and how that can have an impact on their behavior.
Right.
Are you going to talk about that? If not,
These tigers are super, super well loved.
Which is,
like,
yeah,
over the top well loved. And that's like the final part of my story, which
okay.
I'm not quite at. I was seeing how many squirrels I had left.
It's like, go for it.
So where was I? Oh, and also in the final report, the USDA said that the Siegfried and Roy show failed to protect the audience because it had no barrier separating the animals from the crowd. Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see that in all the YouTube videos of their performances. They're running these tigers back and forth. Like, the audience is, like, right there.
Like, if something happened. 5 feet away. Yeah.
If they lost a grip on the leash, you know, it could jump out in the audience and maul them.
They thought they were invincible.
Well, I think they just...
They never saw it.
Trusted
going wrong.
The animals but
that's,
so much.
But that's so dumb of an expert in wild animals. They're wild animals, just like you
also,
said.
Also, this, I don't know if the Times played into it or Vegas played into it.
I'm sure all of those things.
Yeah. So in 2013, even just 6 years ago, Roy and Siegfried were continuing their spin on what happened. Roy said, "But we need to rectify. He never attacked me. If a tiger attacks you, you are finished." And he was calling Manticore his brother at the time and was saying, "I will forever believe it was his concern for my safety and well-being that caused him to act as he did on that night long ago." So the show was shut down right after the attack. These guys were kings in Vegas, and this ended their reign. Did you see what I did there? Oh, I wrote that myself.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me, a little journalism. So today, Siegfried and Roy live on their 100-acre animal kingdom. It's called the Secret Garden. And they recently had their dolphin habitat certified in St. Vegas. It's open to the public. I watched some footage of it. It's fucking gorgeous. Like, the habitats that these animals live in and the level of care is just like tip top. I'm not saying that's better than living in the wild necessarily, or, you know, maybe it is. Like, some of the people are saying that these tigers that are well cared for in captivity do live a lot longer, and they're not, you know, prey to stupid hunters or whatever. But I mean, obviously living in the wild,
all human based
is better. But I don't know if some of them are rescues, maybe, because some rescues can't live in the wild anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's good, I think, to have really good habitats for them. Because our cattails, like, I don't want to talk shit about them. They don't have the funding that Siegfried and Roy obviously do. But
chain link fences and like 50 by 20 feet.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. And these habitats are just gorgeous, like tropical plants and, this is next and to flowing water.
Next to a train track, directly next to my dad lives down that road. I could hear them roaring during feeding times in high school. Like, I know very well. I've been there many times.
I mean, I think they're trying to do good work, but it is, you know, it's a little depressing when you go there. So Manticore lived out his final days there at the Secret Garden and Dolphin Habitat, and he died from natural causes in 2014 at 17 years old. So, R.I.P. Manticore, and here's a picture of him with Siegfried and Roy. Because that was one of the things he did, is he would put his paws up on Roy's shoulders and get a treat like that.
Yeah,
but they like have top of the line veterinary care there, and I was impressed with the love and care that they put into their animals. And that's not a bad retirement gig. Like, I'm gonna spend the rest of my days like living in the secret garden with white tigers and dolphins.
Absolutely. And really, what I like from research I've done in the past, like, absolutely, that's, there is lower levels of captivity that are horrible for animals, and it sounds like they had a higher level. But regardless of that, there's stressors that are put on captive tigers to perform. All right. That stuff that they're doing, yeah. They're being trained, and oftentimes it's with whips to make them scared,
and
to
that's
not
why some people
misperform.
Like boycott circuses, yeah, yeah, and yeah. Those kind of things, yeah.
And they're bred in captivity.
Or zoos, too. People yeah. boycott those.
And so there's natural instincts in play that don't know where to go, and then when something triggers that in the brain, which is very natural for a tiger, they don't know why, and it's not, you know, if it's like people... We have part of our brain that's problem solving, and then our instinctual part. When we get really anxious or angry,
yeah,
that problem solving part shuts off. So, of course, something bad could happen. They got big teeth.
It's a wild animal. It's got those instincts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think definitely living in freedom is ideal.
Mm-hmm.
I think, sadly, for some animals, they're becoming, you know, extinct and...
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a life of captivity is the only way to protect them. I also think that perhaps when people go to an environment like a zoo where they have the mm-hmm. only opportunity in their life to see it up close, that might spark a love for the animals that mm-hmm. might create like a level of activism to protect them in the wild.
Mm-hmm. And I think like reservations are a good place for that to happen. And like, I mean, and at this level, again, higher level care is good, obviously mm-hmm. good. But I think fans forget what happens behind the scenes because there's so much glitter, so much smoke, and it's so pretty looking that they forget, like, okay, to train me to do something. If you wanted me to do something by next week, I'm going to probably bite you.
I would click train you.
And what would you do? You'd probably click train me until I bit you too hard, and then you'd probably smack me on my nose.
With a rolled up newspaper.
With a rolled up newspaper, going against my nature. Anyway. That was a good topic. I liked it.
I've never been to Vegas.
I've never been to Vegas. I've been to Circus Circus in Little Reno.
I've been to that too.
We should go to
if
Vegas.
I'm ever in Vegas, I'm fucking going to the Secret Garden and Dolphin Habitat.
Okay. We have seriously talked about going to many places, but we should, you know, we've been friends for 10 plus years. We've never done a non-derby thing.
Get crazy in Vegas. Like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like a honeymoon type thing.
That sounds super fun.
Okay.
All right.
And no boys invited.
No boys invited. I'm stuck to my own chair. It's not as hot as usual in here.
No, but I had to take my sweater off and put on this
tank top. It's a little dark. Can we turn the light on? Yes. I'm not using a laptop. My laptop's recording.
Okay, you keep talking while I get up.
Yeah, she's getting up. Oh, and she forgot she had headphones on and almost took them with her. I like your work outfit. It's very professional.
My what?
Your
workout. Well, I had a sweater on.
Yeah, it's hot.
It was too hot.
All right. So, what I'm going to talk about today.
My ears are sweaty.
Can I see your nails?
Why?
Very nice. Very nice. Nice, clean.
Oh, God. What are you going to talk about? I feel like I'm being judged already.
What's your favorite color nail polish?
It depends on what season it is.
What season is it now?
For summer, I like bright, you know, like maybe a coral or something like that.
That's very pretty. Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the horrors of nail polish today.
Well, you know, that's great because I have something to totally add on to this. That is equally horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay. I'll jump in at any point.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a lot of bad things that can happen to you from nail polish that people don't really pay attention to or they like attribute to other things. But there are legitimate bad things about nail polish. And some people may just be better at processing these things out than others. So I'll start there. So did you know that there are chemicals in nail polish?
Like formaldehyde?
That cause harm from inhaling them as well as entering your bloodstream.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Well, that's why when you go to the nail salon, they're wearing fucking masks. They don't offer you a mask, do they?
Yeah, this I always wondered, like, you're wearing...
It's so fucked up.
What?
Like, obviously there's some dangerous chemicals in the air.
Yeah, what's going on? So, in some pretty disturbing findings, scientists have found that 6 hours after painting nails, a group of 24 women had elevated levels of diphenyl phosphate, or DPHP, a chemical used in nail polish, in their urine. So that means it's actually going through their body. Mm. As scary as it may sound, some common nail polish chemicals have been linked to causing cancer, and others are linked to miscarriages. Mm. So what goes into it that can cause you harm? There's really three main toxic ingredients. There's other ingredients that are posed as not being healthy, but not necessarily toxic. So we're going to cover the toxic ones. Toluene? Toluene? Have you heard that word?
No.
T-O-L-U-E-N-A.
I believe you.
Okay. So it's the solvent that gives your nail that smooth finish with the paint. So the danger is this. It's colorless, a water-insoluble liquid with a smell like into a paint thinner. That's a smell. And it's primarily inhaled through your lungs. According to ToxTown, inhaling low to moderate levels of this within a short period of time can cause fatigue, headaches, dizziness, weakness, and nausea. Long-term exposure, so they're talking about people who paint their nails regularly, have risk of exposure that can affect the central nervous system, your reproductive system, and immune system. It can lead to hearing and color and vision loss and damage to kidneys and liver. It can also cause brain damage and memory damage, as well as just an overall kind of decline in mental ability.
But you look cute.
So, also, breathing high levels of this during pregnancy can affect your fetus, resulting in babies with birth defects.
Well, they do recommend that you don't get manicures and pedicures when you're pregnant.
But the thing is, so I'm 31 years old, publicly announcing that.
You have to think about that.
I know, it's somewhere around there. It's because I finished my can while you were talking.
Oh, I'm savoring.
Well, because you were talking the whole last 40 minutes.
Well,
not
so I like to savor it.
So, I'm 31. And I feel like, you know, everywhere I see alcohol, avoid that. Avoid cigarettes if you're pregnant. I've never been pregnant. Like, I never have, like, had to go to a doctor and say, what do I do to make sure my baby's healthy throughout this process? And nowhere does it say, please be aware of nail polish.
I've heard that.
Where have you heard it from?
I don't know. Word on the street. Diverse sources.
But that's...
It's like, don't eat sushi, don't get a manicure, don't get your hair colored.
But that's the uncomfortable part is, like, you've heard those, but I have visually seen warnings for alcohol and cigarettes. I've never seen something for
also,
nail polish.
I see pregnant people at the nail salon all the time.
I've seen sushi.
Do you see pregnant people at the nail salon? Because
yes,
I do.
Yes, I have. Yeah. I have. And I don't feel like they're stopping them. That's money.
No.
They don't stop anybody.
Do they have a responsibility to inform them? I think they do.
I think they do. They're the one providing the service.
But they do.
If, like, you and I are providing counseling, say we're doing exposure therapy, there's risk involved. You're going to feel anxious. You may feel out of control. Like, you may feel like you're in the place that you were before when this happened initially. This may initiate a trauma response. Like,
nail salons probably don't have a Hippocratic oath.
But they're using chemicals that we don't even use chemicals on people.
They just want to sell that fucking deluxe manicure. I always do basic, by the way.
Basic, yeah. So the second one is formaldehyde, which you mentioned. It's used as the hardening agent in nail polish. Mm. So if you're suffering from allergies, contact with formaldehyde, a colorless flammable chemical with a strong odor, can cause dermatitis and possible chemical burns. So you may want to, like, correlate those if they're happening. This gas, when inhaled, can trigger heart rhythm disorders and convulsions. Hmm. Worst of all, the International Agency of Research on Cancer has now classified formaldehyde as a carcinogenic agent to humans, known to be one of the potentially toxic ingredients that we use daily.
Like, Is it in a lot of things that we use daily it that is. We don't know about?
Yeah, it's kind of like a baseline thing that people don't pay attention to. What else is it in? I would have to look it up, but okay. I'm curious. I'm going to take the Agency for Research on Cancer at their word. But
so topical and like oral?
Yeah. Both? Yeah. So larger, longer exposure to formaldehyde has been linked to causing cancer of the nasal sinuses and leukemia.
Oh, so smelling too.
Particularly myeloid leukemia. And that's from American Cancer Society. Shared that. So
this is not leukemia on my arm, by the way.
Is that a bruise?
Yeah, isn't that wicked?
What did you do?
I don't know, but
Derby's not even like going on right now.
I know, it's huge. I don't know what it is.
You bruise easy though.
I have no recollection or memory of how I got this giant goose egg on my arm.
So the third like main bad chemical is called let's see if I get this right. Diputyl phthalate or DBP.
Just go with that.
DBP. It's a solvent commonly used as a plasticizer to make nail polishes more durable for preventing them from becoming brittle. So this is a suspected endocrine disrupting chemical that interferes with hormones in the body and alters the functions of the endocrine system.
Affects our glands, yo.
Yeah, which like gland problems cause lots of problems.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, studies involving lab animals show a connection between the DBP and fertility issues as well as birth defects. It must be said, though, that like there's many people who have nails done all the time that don't have any issues. That is absolutely a thing. It may be due to the fact that they are choosing nail polishes that do not have these chemicals in them, or their bodies are just better at detoxifying those specific chemicals. But overall, these are chemicals that are bad for humans in general. So whatever the case, really looking into the ingredients is important. And how to do that, there's special markings on the bottles. So have you seen any special markings that you've paid attention to? So there's actual markings on the bottle if they are chemical free.
I don't paint my own nails, so
yeah,
I don't look at
bottles. They have them like up on the wall usually and you pick out your color. But
I
don't read them,
I just look at the color.
So nine free means that the product doesn't contain formaldehyde, toluene, dipitol, phthalate, formaldehyde, resin, camphor, xylene, ethyl tessellamide.
I don't want any of those
parabens and acetone. So
parabens?
Parabens and acetones.
And yeah. Parabens.
Parabens? Are they the same?
Yeah. That's what you said.
Parabens? Oh, yeah. Parabens. This is why you don't go second.
Second's the worst.
Because you literally like just go and then...
It's the worst.
Yeah. Whatever. So 9-free is probably the better standard. As far as excluding all things that could possibly cause chemical impact to your body. 7-free means that it doesn't contain, here's my second go at it, formaldehyde, toluene, dipitol, phthalate, formaldehyde resin, camphor, ethyl tosylamide, and xylene.
So 7-free means it's free of those 7 things.
Yep, but not... still contains parabens and acetone. And let's see here, it would still contain...
So the higher number of free is better for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
5-free has all those things.
Look at me doing math.
And then 3-free is only minus those 3 major things that we talked about.
So that's like the shittiest one for your body.
Yeah. So it does say like remember in general to give your nails time to breathe once in a while. So not always having nail polish on.
Yeah. Since we always have polish break.
Yeah. Polish break. And that you can use like rubbing or use, olive oil on your nails. It makes them vibrant and natural and soft without chemicals.
Olive oil.
Yeah. It's very nice. Were those all of your nail polish things?
Well, I can tell my personal disclosure now, if you'd like. That's totally related.
I'm going to use the restroom.
Oh my God, I'll wait for you to get back because you totally want to hear this.
Okay, I do.
The potty's right there.
I'm going. Talk, entertain.
Okay, I'll talk about something random. So, what will I talk about? Macy and I are on a roller derby team. And we're on summer break right now. Our team is called the Spookannibals. And our motto is S4L, Spookannibals for Life. And we have a game in Nampa, Idaho, against the Beat City Bombers in September. But nobody can go to it. We've only had 4 or 5 people say they can go. So I'm looking to reschedule that or cancel that or whatever. I think it's just too soon after summer break. Oh, good. Macy's back. Okay, so here's my thing.
Wait, hold on.
Wait.
Hold on. So were you seriously, your conversation was talking about the game that nobody can go to, including me.
Yeah, I didn't call you out. I just said only like 5 people can go.
Yeah, I was
wondering. I didn't know what else to talk about. It popped into my head.
What are you going to do about that?
Well, I'm going to try to like cancel or reschedule.
Gotcha.
Because we can't play a game with 5 people.
We can, especially Nampa, like you have to fly there. I went to the last Nampa game and we had to fly.
Because I don't fly.
It's like 8 hours.
I'm like John Madden. I just drive everywhere.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know who that is?
I do, but like I don't know the reference of why that is.
He's afraid of flying, so he has like this super set up RV and he just drives everywhere.
Hmm.
And he likes giant turkey legs. Jesus,
why do you
Macy.
Know so much about him?
Because I used to be super into football. Oh. I'm not now because I don't have time.
So why would I know what you're super obsessed about and how you've associated that with your fears in life?
Most people know who John Madden is and they know about his fears. Because
most people don't know that.
No, I bet they do.
I bet you they don't.
I'll do a survey monkey and I'll report back.
I hope so. Okay.
Do you want to hear my thing?
No leading questions. Sure.
Okay. Do you notice that I'm not wearing any nail polish?
Which, so honestly, when I asked that question, I was expecting you to be wearing it, because typically you do, because I compliment it frequently.
Yes, I'm not wearing any nail polish on my feet either.
Mm.
So I have not worn nail polish, actually, this is how non-observant you are, since like fucking January.
Very non-observant. Wait, hold on. I have to make sure this is plugged in.
Oh my god, you're making me have a panic attack.
Hold on. Okay, we are fine now. I had to make sure we were plugged in.
I've been doing my deep belly breathing over here, my monkey breathing, as I've come to call it.
That's very good.
If you don't know why, listen to the last episode.
Yes.
Where was I?
You're talking about your nails, you hadn't told me why.
Okay, so I came to discover in like January that I had caught a toenail fungus.
What? Wait. January?
Yeah, in January. And in January, also, I started my yoga teacher training, where you're, like, barefoot all fucking day
all
in front of people.
All over random mats, right?
Well, I really did not want to be going to yoga teacher training with a toenail fungus.
Mm-hmm.
So I like really dedicated myself to clearing it up. So I stopped wearing nail polish and I started researching over the counter treatments and like really researching hard about this. And I was 100% sure I caught it at a nail salon. And I don't know if that's where I caught it, but I tried all these treatments and it's super disgusting and I hate it. And it's on 2 of my toes. Do you want to look at it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Cut my the second 2 toes over there.
Oh, I don't have my socks on. Is that a problem? Is it contagious?
Yeah. So I finally, like,
God damn it.
I've used all these like natural treatments that are not working. And so I just finally went to the dermatologist last week. So I got like real medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping it'll clear up. But she said they're real tough to clear
up. Wait, you've been going from January till now before you went to get a medicine for it?
Well, I've been using,
you know, it's August,
quote unquote medicines that I got off the internet and natural treatments like tea tree oil and lavender.
Garbage. Good for mild things that don't matter.
But she said it's either from a nail salon or like you could get it from a gym or like anything like that.
Which yoga mats and nail salons, you've done all those things.
I really think it's the nail salon though, because mm-hmm. yoga mats, I usually only use my own yoga mat. I don't share yoga mats, really, but you are walking around barefoot with other people. Yeah,
quite a lot more than you typically would.
So it's gross. I'm publicly disclosing that, yes, I have a toenail fungus. And
that's very topical for today's topic.
Yes, and I probably caught it at a nail salon, and that's why I have not been back to a nail salon since, like, January.
Wow.
But you did say my nails look good, because I've been doing home manicures and pedicures, sans polish, but I've been doing my own, like filing and buffing and cuticling and all that stuff.
Nice, they look healthy.
Because I do need my, you know, like...
nail polish break.
Well, and... you want your hands to look nice, like, if you're working with people.
I remember you told me that a long time ago, and I bite my fingernails. So my fingernails are not long ever.
No, I don't like it this long. I was supposed to clip them last weekend, and I didn't have time.
I just remember that sticking with me way back when I started my master's degree.
Look at your hands.
Okay, but let me tell you the horror story that happened because of what you told me. So I was like, I'm going to get the fake nails put on to make them look nice. And so I got fake nails put on, and then, like, I realized I have a real anxiety problem.
Oh, you just realized that?
Because I bite my fingernails for a reason, and just getting nails put on them didn't stop the anxiety. So what I started to do was I'd bite them from side to side and crack them in half, which was actually really painful because they're glued very securely onto my cuticle. Yeah. And I went through and I did that for all my fingers in a horribly painful way because I couldn't, like, just having them on my hands and not being able to get them off my hands freaked me out.
I've never had fake nails.
I didn't enjoy it. I did not.
Having nice nails doesn't mean they have to be long. I think it means, like, clean and, like, not all, like...
you're not gross and...
you know, like, not, like, nasty... dry cuticles sprouting out to the sides.
Yeah, I don't think I have that, because that would probably bother me on a different level. But
yeah, I used to bite my nails when I was a little kid.
Just so you know, for years, I took that a different way, that I needed to have manicured nails, and I did so to my horrible regret.
Well, I used to be a very regular, every 2 to 3 week person that visited the nail salon, like, for the last 5 years, and so... being, like, naked nails, like, for the last 8 months has been really different, but now I'm used to it. Like, at first it felt very, like, oh my god, like, I need color, I need polish. But, yeah, I'm used to it now, and I think I'm, like, getting used to it, and I want my fucking fungus to go away, because it's gross.
If I get fungus... I'm going to blame you so hard.
You can. And then I will refer you to my amazing dermatologist, Dr. Reed.
Can't wait.
I hope it clears up. I'll report back.
So until next time, give your nails some time to breathe.
Wear flip-flops in public places.
And don't piss off your lion friend.
Yeah. If you play with a tiger, you're going to get bit.